Every Wednesday afternoon, we get caught up in Ellettsville, and our great friend is County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. Marty, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm trying not to get a sunburn over here. I mean, it's sunshine. Is this something else?
I tell you what, and it's going to keep going here for the next couple of days, so let's get out and enjoy it. You had a busy weekend last weekend with Sale Street all booked up with Santa Claus and naughty and nice list and all. I saw the pictures from that. That looked like a wonderful time.
Right, and, of course, we have our great Masons Lodge, the Masonic Lodge, had breakfast for folks who wanted to go in there, and that some of the shops downtown were open. We had lots of different games and music going on, and Santa Claus taking pictures, really, at the library with Santa Claus then later. So that's something that all the little kids really look forward to, and it's just a great downtown celebration. Sort of reminds you somewhat of back in the day when we had the Fall Festival downtown on that street, and it just brings people together and makes them appreciate the beauty of a small town coming together, making this happen. So kudos to all those folks, and of course the fire department.
Yeah.
Trying to take the place of, you know, we can't have those reindeers worn out carrying Santa Claus everywhere.
That's right.
Sometimes the fire departments have to kick in and help out. But in the meantime, some of us were trying really hard to get ready for a meeting that sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen at a meeting.
Well, Marty, I have a blank piece of legal paper here waiting to take notes. So, What have we learned this week?
Well, of course, the most wonderful thing is the opportunity to assist with trying to help with the hiring of 250 new jobs phased in over 5 years, and with a total payroll of $25 million. And that was for it's called the Enhance Semiconductors. And that's going to be in the building where GE was. And the presentation, I thought, was important, and I even had contacted Jeff Cockrell, the legal department, and asked him to have something to present so the public would understand that this is how the money would work in this. Because, of course, that's our job. But we recognize that if Cook had not bought that building when it was had sat there empty for so long and made the plans, the OGE building, and made the plans to move forward with that. And we all celebrated wonderful things. However, with COVID and all of that, that changed the plans. So of course, Cook's never going to be defeated. They just got busy and tried to figure out a new plan for that building that would create jobs and help out there. And that's because they have that kind of reach out to other businesses to try to make all of this work. This is the only reason. If that had been sitting there vacant and continue to set in that kind of disrepair, I doubt this would have ever been coming together the way it is. Now, just as a little tutorial here, that I had to be asked to be reminded here how this worked, that we put a TIF in place, a tax increment finance area in place, just for that area where the Cook area is there around GE. And so that was my question of county legal. What about that bond? Because that TIF was put together so that a bond could be put in place of, I think it was more than $8 million. And then what would happen to that? And so I was happy to hear that was a drawdown bond and they had really not drawn down anything with because of the whole change in the plan. So There's the money. Remember, the money is because Cook owns the bond. Then that money collected in that TIF, which is what Cooks would have been paying because they were paying into the TIF, would have been going toward paying off the expenses of the bond. So it all is going to work out, and they're talking about well, they'll just, you know, not have this bond and get that paid off, just the cost of opening it, which there would be the money there in that TIF right now to do that, because that's the Cook would have paid that. Now, if because of saying we're going to do a tax abatement for this company, that if they hadn't had an abatement, first of all, we would most likely not have this business coming here if we didn't do the abatement. But let's say if we didn't, the money they would have paid would have gone into the separate TIF, which then would have helped pay back the money that Cook would have had to pay if there had been a bond to pay off. So all of that comes together, and I know it's confusing.
Yeah, let me ask one question here. So you have the TIF district, correct? And if there's nothing, quote-unquote, going on in the district, is that just property tax collect? What is coming in there, like you said, if there's nothing going on?
Well, we don't know right now, first of all, they don't even have the lease agreed to yet. Enhance is still working with Cooks to get a lease, because they're not going to buy the building from Cooks. They're going to lease a portion of this larger, much, much larger building and space. So that they would still have that TIF area, because it's already been designated a TIF area, so that if they needed it to kind of grow jobs in any of the rest of it, they would still have that ability to do that. Is that your question?
Yeah, it sounds like the part of the building that's not working, and so the TIF doesn't know who lives there, right? It's just an area of
right.
Okay, gotcha.
Right, and it's not just that building; it's like an area around it and the other building.
So when people hear, "Well, that building's been empty," well, that building is just not the TIF. The TIF is all around it. I got you. Okay.
You're right. And according to the owner of Enhance, or maybe they called him the president, whatever, they really think that there will be other businesses come to join them and as spinoffs from what's going on with their company. And boy, was he passionate about what they are doing. Sort of reminded me about when I first met Bill Cook, a much younger Bill Cook, who was so passionate about what his company was doing and what he could offer and so forth. And so he didn't want to so much talk about, okay, this number of jobs or whatever. He was just saying, this is what this product will do. This is what it will do for the world. So it was exciting to be a part of that. But what I wanted to really make clear is that it doesn't mean there'd be more money in the public coffers that help offset other taxes if this didn't happen. If we hadn't given the tax abatement, because if he paid into that money then would have gone to the area there in the TIF area. It wouldn't have gone to the other areas.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I wanted to make sure that was clear. But he made it clear, the president of the company made it clear that they are still in negotiations with having to do with the lease and all kinds of other things, having to make this all come together. And this was one of the steps. So we don't know what the other steps are that's going to take to make all of this happen. So
it's not a done deal, but it's done in principle. How about that?
Right, and he's saying if this all comes together, he's hoping he'll really be able to be in there working, and this coming year. So
Marty, let me ask you a simpler angle here. What needs to be done before we can get these 250 jobs and all this great future stuff going on in that district? What needs to be done yet? Is this the county council, the county commissioners? What's on the agenda now for you guys?
Oh, no, the commissioners and council's already agreed. Now they are working, now this company are working with Cooks. Because, remember, this company is not going to buy this building. They are going to be leasing.
So this is going to be a part of their lease agreement somehow, some way to get this all done.
Right. It'll be part of the lease agreement. And the abatement is not for the real estate. It is for the personal property.
Okay, so that's the stuff that goes in there, right?
Right, because personal property is something that you could pick up and move someplace else.
Yeah, I hear personal property and I think individual stuff. No, it's just it's the stuff inside the building, for lack of a better term, not the outside ground. So
and like you said, it was just a perfect coming together because they feel a need to get moving on something and do it right away, and they really did not want to have to take time to start from scratch to build a building from ground up.
Correct.
And there is this building that works out well for them. Now, what they've got to do a lot of work within that building to have this clean room and to have all of it set up so that they actually can do the work. So they have contractors lined up, people lined up, ready to go. I mean, he was organized with his thoughts. He went boom, 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 and he had it all figured out. But he doesn't want to start moving on that and say, go do it, until it's got all this worked out with Cooks, which, I mean, I know Cooks wants to make this work, so let's just hope all this works out. The other thing that he mentioned in conversation with me, I was asking him, would he be moving here or wherever, and he said that he's from, I think he said North Carolina, wherever. And he said he spends most of his time flying from one place to the other. And I said, oh, that means our airport is real important to you. And he said, yes, it is. And that is something I know that Peter Yonkman of Cooks has been talking about for quite some time, how important that airport is. Now, I know you probably get tired of me bragging on our airport, but really, it is an important thing. It's an important way that we keep moving forward. And even if we didn't add anything new to that, we have to maintain what's there. Think about all the people flying in and out of there.
Absolutely. And it's not 50 years ago anymore. It's now. And there's more people with time and money, and if they can save themselves time, well, they'll do so. And we're not a big city, Marty, but we got to have big city stuff to attract businesses like this.
Right. And that's Mr. Bob Patty is the president. I kept looking for his name. I knew it was sort of like his last name was a lady's first name.
Well, you got it right. That's it.
Bob Patty. Anyway, so we got that. Well, okay, I wanted to go on and talk very quickly. I better be talking fast, hadn't I?
No, you're all right. You're good.
Well,
it's the holidays.
The CIB met this morning.
Well, hey, all right. I'm going to have Spoonmore on Monday,
right,
so I'll shake him down.
I was excited to listen to that, and they did it very they were so organized and had all the information out there. So the meeting only lasted just a little over an hour, which was a good thing because then I had to watch the commissioners at 10. So the other meeting started at 9, but I don't have anything to do, right? But anyway, it was very interesting. And what I liked about it was they are organized. If that had been a group of, like city council, county council, the mayor, the county commissioner, da da, we would still be talking about who's going to sit on what seat, I swear. I mean, maybe. Anyway, they had their thoughts all organized and where they're heading with this and plans to who would take care of what project or what portion that they were working on. They plan to have a work group and so forth. So anyway, Eric Spoonmore can describe it better for you and let you know how this is all working. But I really liked hearing the new appointment, and his name is like T-H-E-I-S. Is that right?
I don't know.
The new appointment?
I don't know.
Well, at any rate, I was really interested to hear him say, because they were all talking about different things and different plans. And he made it clear that our very first step, our very first thing we have to do is we have to look at the budget. How much money do we have to work with? And I thought, boy, that is right. I mean, I'm putting on my real estate hat here. If I started showing you houses that were $750,000 houses, But what you could really afford was maybe a $400,000 house. But I hadn't asked you what you could afford.
Well, you better ask what you could afford.
You
can't
have. You'll never be happy with this.
We all watch those shows. We all know what you're talking about. What is your price point? What's your budget? That's right. What is their budget, Marty? Is that something we discussed today?
They don't know. I mean, from what I gather, they don't know, really. But what they're working on is they are going to confer with Jeff Underwood, who is available now, to work with them with numbers and so forth. And I also suggested they go back and take a look at what we had from FSG when we originally put this together. And the strange thing is it showed up on my Facebook page today in the memory about what we talked about just this date back in 2017. So I just had to listen to it. You know, I so appreciate that. It's like, oh, gosh, that reminds me of this thing. But part of what FSG had presented was, you know, with this budget, but in the very small print said, but this didn't include the remodeling and renovation of the existing facility, and it did not include any of the furniture or equipment or anything, and that was, you know, millions of dollars. And so we have to make sure that when they're looking at this budget, they're looking at the total budget to see exactly where these dollars are going to come from. And it was also mentioned by Eric Spoonmore that there's dollars perhaps available in the red eye equipment, dollars that they could apply for and get. And then there's also if there would be individual companies or something who would want to contribute. But those are things that are important before they start spending a lot of money on great big plans that might not be really affordable. Because the new member there who is tied to buildings and so forth through IU made it clear that the cost of building has really gone up. So
yeah, everything goes up. Every year it's going to go up.
right. And the longer
Adam Ties is who we're talking about, I believe is how you say it. I don't know if I said that correctly.
I couldn't figure out how to pronounce it. But anyway, so there goes that. There's supposed to be another meeting on December 18th. I couldn't figure out what that was about.
Oh, good.
Didn't mention it.
Well, I'm hoping Eric can squeeze me in either before. I hope they do it in the morning so he can squeeze me in just after 3 o'clock on Monday, and then we can get to hopefully some more. Again, a roadmap. Where do we get these budgetary numbers? How much money is coming in? What of that can be used? It's all fascinating, but as you mentioned, we've been doing this for a long time, and the longer it takes to go, nothing is going down in cost.
Okay, and if you'll remember, we talked about the Convention and Visitors Commission, you know, about who has the appointments for the Convention and Visitors Commission, because they're the ones who vote on having to do what the innkeeper's tax. And if you remember, Jeff McKim, who's a member of the county council, is also a member of the Convention and Visitors Commission, because right now the county still has that appointment there. So he had gone to them a couple of weeks ago or so ago to get permission to ask for the $500,000 for that Karst Turf project, remember?
Yeah, I thought that wasn't going to go through.
You thought what?
It was not going to happen. Is it back on?
Well, we were ready to vote on that because he was going to come to the county to ask for this additional appropriation. And so, right, so there we were. However, if you'll remember, the county commissioners a week ago or whatever had postponed voting on that contract for this and postponed voting, putting it on ARPA funds because they wanted more information. Well, as it turns out this morning, they postponed it again until their meeting on the 20th, because they wanted to get Lee Jones there so she would have an opportunity to speak on it too. But we had already had it on our agenda to go ahead and vote to approve this. One would think we would have voted to approve it. We were all pretty excited about it. However, that what it was going to be was to try to encumber that money. That means take the money that is available out of a budget from this year and be able to spend it next year, so that you're taking this year's budget. And this, so at any rate, then when it came time and people were reviewing it, they're going, well, the commissioners haven't signed a contract, and the law is you have to have a signed contract or whatever in order to encumber something. You can't just encumber it because you want to. So we didn't even have that presented to us last night, and since they didn't vote on it this year, so it appears it's not going to happen. The vote wouldn't take place until next year. So then the question is, what happens next year? Because we might not even have the same appointments to the Commission of Visitors Commission.
Right.
See that, and so, I mean, those are all legal questions. I just have a questioning mind.
That's it. So those answers will come from where, Marty?
Well, if it's a brand new appropriation, it will not be an encumbrance, because we're not allowed to do an encumbrance because there's no contract setting there. So at the beginning of next year, if they want to come and ask the county council for an additional appropriation over and above whatever budget we already approved and have already told the public this is what their budget is, because, you know, when we do that, it's part of public notice, then they can do an additional appropriation as long as they have the additional money there. So I would think that board would have to re-up their vote. If it's the same people on there, they can just reaffirm, yes, they want him to come and ask for this money. But we'll have to wait and see, I would think, what they're going to do. And then they would come to us and ask for the money. Now, we'll have the same county council, but we don't have the same Commission of Visitors Commission, perhaps because there's new appointments that is available for that commission at the beginning of the year.
Well, I know you'll be keeping a watch for us.
Well, yes. Now, I did want to talk to you just a bit about the rural transit to make sure that people understand that rural transit also did say, look, we're going to put in 3 months' worth. But after that, we've already spent our budget. They already had budgeted their revenue. And this is something brand new, a new service that Elsewood would have to provide if they did this. And so they're saying, look, we don't want to lay off law enforcement or one of the firefighters or something in order to provide this transportation, because it's not a part of their obligation. So that will, we don't know how that will work out. Now, there's this pulls at your heartstrings. Everybody wants to make sure that everybody has transportation. But if it is an urban-to-urban transportation, that is Ellisville to Bloomington, then rural transit can't do it.
Correct.
So I don't know where the dollars are going to come from, but it will obviously have time for people to sort of work on that. In the meantime, the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, they have to do like a 25-year plan of what is planned out for where the roads are going to go, et cetera, et cetera. And that's required to do, every 20, 25 years. And so the city's putting $100,000 into it. The county's putting $100,000 into it. And that's where we have to all look. If you plan to move, or if you plan to sell, or if you even want to know if a road's coming through your neighborhood, you better watch, because that's where that is.
Oh, they won't do that. They'll wait till it happens, then get upset. You know how that works.
Well, I know.
25 years is a long time, I know.
Reminds me of the Thompson property, and I heard them talking about that at the work session, the county commissioners, and they still have not decided to go with the Thompson property. But they were talking about the overhead electrical, there's this big, big
Sure, there's electrical. there's a whole power plant right there, for crying out loud.
Right. Well, it was there when we bought the property.
It's just expanded about it's gotten bigger, that's right. And guess what that property is going to need if they build a jail and center and campus on it? Well, a lot of electricity, so it's probably a good thing it's right there.
Well,
that's what I would think.
So we don't know where that's going to go. I just thought I would bring you up that. And we do have our new justice transition director that everybody's been pushing back and forth. There's been a big push-pull between the commissioners, the sheriff, the council, trying to get that person on board. And it's finally put together and introduced last night. He's a Monroe County native, Corey Graff. And he has been in law enforcement since the early 90s, not just here, but in Miami and Terre Haute, part of the FBI, and so forth. So he is going to be the transition director, and he's a local person. So,
well, there we go. And that's.
So I just want to tell you, it looks like there's some of the things that have been fussed about for a while are starting to come together, and some of it's still on the table.
That's how it always is here at the holiday season. We're back next week. Will you come back and join us and keep us updated before we turn the calendar to 2024?
What day is it? My daughter's coming in on the 20th.
That's when I'll... You know, if you're not here next Wednesday, you're not here next Wednesday. But I'll be here.
Will you really? One of these days, you need to take some time off.
I will. The next week, I will be gone. So we will not do anything the week of Christmas, and then we will be back Wednesday the 3rd. So if I do not catch you next week, I will see you in 2024.
All righty. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Bye-bye.